Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
They needed this. And why I say this, I mean Luke Owen. Luke Owen cutting a promo to start AEW Dynamite.
You're
the
welcome.
New IWGP heavyweight champion, Luke Owen.
I deserve it. I deserved it. I deserve all of this.
Do you want to explain this before we get into the full review?
It's something I hadn't noticed when I was making the thumbnail for this show or anything like that. It was only when we were about to go live, I was looking at the live chat, and it was a comment that jumped out, and it was like, when did Luke win the IWGP Championship? And I was like, huh? And then a few other people have been like, everyone else thought that was Luke on the thumbnail. And apparently, as everyone seems to think, that I look like Jon Moxley. I'll take it. Mm. I sent a picture of Sheamus, because there was a thing going around that, Sheamus looked out of shape by people who are, you know, don't understand bodies and stuff. And I sent it across to my wife. And I was like, I mean, this is why you fancy me, right? Because I look just like Sheamus. And she was like, babe. And I was like, yeah, look, we're pretty, I would say we look pretty similar in body types. Mm. And she was like, he's way more muscly. I was like, well, maybe in the arms, but I think apart from that, we're pretty much identical.
Let's have some comment suggestions for Luke's Blackpool Combat Club name, please, in the comments.
Well, the Blackpool Content Club, for starters.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, so thank you very much for all the praise of everyone saying I now look like Jon Moxley as well. I can add that to the list of wrestlers that I look like.
This is the AEW Dynamite Review Podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, joined by Luke Owen, of course. Please press the thumbs up button, give us a subscribe, leave a comment down below with what you thought of this Dynamite episode, and send in your Omega chats to WrestleTalk.com/support. And thank you very much to the sponsor of this episode, Wrestling Masterclass. Go over to WrestlingMasterclass.com to start your journey to getting into the wrestling business. There's loads of modules on there, each tackling a different part of the wrestling industry. How to become a referee, how to become a commentator, how to become somebody like these two guys, a wrestling media superstar.
Absolutely. And there's even modules with Raven, with Dutch Mantel, with Mike Chioda, some of the biggest names from this industry.
Yeah, so WrestlingMasterclass.com, go check that out and help support the show. Right, last week I rated it as the worst AEW Dynamite in history.
The week before that featured the Adam Copeland rah-rah speech that some people felt was unnecessary.
And wasn't the week before that Billy Gunn, Jay White?
No, I think that was the same show as the rah-rah speech.
Right, so not a good 2 weeks for AEW Dynamite.
I will say that the Jay White thing was the only blot on that episode. Mm. There was actually a lot of good stuff on that episode, but the Jay White thing kind of overshadowed a lot of it, coupled with all of the negativity around the company from the Helwani interview with CM Punk, the so much hype going into WrestleMania, and the releases that AEW did on the same day as the Helwani interview.
I would also add Jericho and Mercedes Moné just not clicking. Like that feel that was a big, big advertised, well-promoted thing. Feels like a misfire so far.
There's been nothing to it thus far. Mm. Yeah.
So that's, I would say that was a pretty bad 2 weeks for AEW.
I would say
in,
so.
In content.
They were two shows. Last week's show was a bad show anyway, but the All-In footage kind of like compounded a lot of those negative ones, which you talked to death about last week. It's one of the longest AEW shows we've ever done. The week before, a lot of people didn't like the rah-rah speech, didn't like the Helwani interview. There's also so much positivity around WrestleMania. WWE were taking all their digs in as well. There was just a lot of like, AEW's in the mud, the ratings aren't going up, they can't grow, where's the attendance? And one of the things that people were saying that AEW should be doing is focusing on their positives. Let's not accentuate the negatives, let's accentuate the positives, which is where the best wrestle. And there was a promo video that went out before this show, which was about Moxley being on the show, and he was cutting this promo about like, this is what it means to be All Elite. This is what being elite means. It's working in this company with these wrestlers. And everyone was like, this is what AEW should be doing. So Moxley opened this show kind of doing a in-ring version of that promo, which is that I've won the IWGP Championship. This is the culmination of a five-year journey for me. People told me I couldn't do it, but that it was an impossible dream. But I knew there was a fire in my belly that I could do this. And he gave what was a rah-rah speech, but it wasn't like the Adam Copeland rah-rah speech, which is like, hey guys, there's a lot of negativity around this place at the moment, but I think there's a lot of great stuff. This was just like, no, this is the best place to wrestle. We've got the best wrestlers, and this let's go and have a killer show. It was a great opening.
Yeah, and it sort of, like you said, took that New Japan win as the start, and then it ended with, and I really hate the Don Callis family right now for what they did to Bryan Danielson. So you had actual kayfabe context, which was 95% of this promo. And then in the middle, there was a line about how great AEW was.
Also,
So it really helps package it in, doesn't make it feel like you're hit over the head with it.
Absolutely.
Like in the Copeland one.
And he advertised a match for next week. Mm-hmm. Told you, here's what the main event of Dynamite is next week. It's me versus Powerhouse Hobbs.
So I also think John Moxley, and I always appreciate John Moxley, and then I'm astounded by how much I'm actually not grateful for him sometimes, because he's not been around for about a month, I'd say.
Yeah.
Much on AEW TV, been having a bit of a well-earned break doing some New Japan stuff.
Yeah, he hasn't been since Revolution.
Yeah.
Right?
So now he's back. It's like, oh, this has been missing from AEW, because he really is part of their DNA. He debuts on the first ever, as the main thing on the first ever pay-per-view. He has stepped in so many times to save the company. He was the pandemic champion. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the stuff he's gone through outside the ring and in the ring, he is kind of the grit element.
He was the face of the post-brawl out world of AEW.
Exactly.
So and actually the face of when post-punk first injury
put
the interim title on him.
So to have him come back here in this way felt like a really good and much needed reset and reframing of, okay, we had 2 weeks where WWE baited us into doing not our best stuff, but we've stepped back, we've calmed down, and we brought back John Moxley.
Yeah. So the reports are that last week with the footage that Khan has got it out of his system now. He felt like he needed to do this. It's now done. It's dusted. Everyone is looking to move on from it. Unfortunately, because of the way that interviews work, everyone's going to ask him questions about it. So you have to answer questions about it, which means that more headlines are written you about it. So you're still talking about it. Same thing will happen when Punk does an interview next. He'll be like, what do you make of them showing the All-In footage? So it'll never be a dead thing. But the idea is we have moved past this. And like Alan Partridge and Liz Truss, this is an episode where they've bounced back. They are bouncing back.
I've got to be honest, for me, although I really enjoyed this episode, particularly two fantastic matches, it's going to take a couple of weeks for me to fully get over how bad the last 2 weeks have been.
I don't think you're wrong on that one, but I think this show was the signs were there of this is the bounce back moment. Yeah. Right. This wasn't like a complete home run episode. But when I was watching that Claudio Will match, or even the Elite Six man, I was thinking like, man, what difference might have the reception been to last week's episode if you had this caliber of wrestling on that show as well?
Yeah, we talked a lot over the last 2 weeks about show, don't tell. Don't have Adam Copeland come out and tell us that everything's fine and we should be positive about everything. Show how this is actually the place where the best wrestle. Don't have Ospreay come out and say and tell us that you know, he has all this grit. Show us that he has the grit, because we know he's capable of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this Will Ospreay-Claudio Castagnoli match, which was the main event match of the episode, which also featured Jon Moxley, was just the biggest possible statement you could make in that regard, because it was an astounding match. For me, one of the best TV matches of the year. It's pay-per-view caliber. These two had excellent chemistry together. There was never a second where they were sort of resting or headlocks or anything like that. It was just move, 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 reversal sequence. And they were able to seamlessly integrate each other's very, like, hard-hitting athletic styles. And then Ospreay wins, and you've got the further stuff with the Callis family and the Blackpool Combat Club. Moxie comes down. This was a phenomenal match.
Match was so, so great. It's one of those classic, isn't Will a great wrestler matches. Mm. Isn't this another reminder of how great Claudio is as well in the ring? And it told an interesting story as well of the speed and strength, or speed versus strength, I should say, which is going to be different to when Will is doing the Danielson match. And they were talking about this on commentary, that where Will is kind of like not struggling against Claudio, but where Claudio is slightly getting the better of him, is that Will can't do the technical game against Claudio. There's one moment where he tries to get in the sharpshooter, and Claudio, he just can't do it because Claudio's size and his length. And Claudio just easily transitions into a sharpshooter of his own. And they're like, Will can't do his usual game here. So he's got to think outside of the box in order to get Claudio down and beat him in a different manner, which is something he won't have to do against Danielson. So it's a really callous, I thought, was great on commentary. Mm. There was a moment during this when he said, I got to be honest, guys, I think it was about halfway through the match. He's like, I think Claudio's got this on points.
I think
Claudio's got this on points. But at the end of the day, points don't matter. It's whoever wins. And he knew that his boy would. And there was a moment when Claudio did this springboard up, launching uppercut. And Callis, you could almost hear him stand out of his chair going, no!
Yeah. I really like Callis in this as well. And he wasn't just putting over Claudio for the points and how much he was dominating the match, maybe. He was also saying, I'd love to have him in my faction.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, you know, that could just be Callis' way of getting over the opponent, which gets over Will Moore when he beats him. Or if we are entering a couple of months of Family versus Blackpool Combat Club, because we know it continues post-Dynasty, Jon Moxley's facing Powerhouse Hobbs next week. Is it going to be a case of people defect? Is Claudio going to come over to the family and maybe Will goes over
to the Combat Club?
Not to officially join the Combat Club, but certainly to affiliate with them.
I quite like the idea of Claudio going into the family in some way. I think that's a bit interesting, a bit different. The other thing I really enjoyed about Don was on when he joined commentary, and they were talking about Jon Moxley had mentioned that he hates Don Callis at the start of the show, and Taz said, he was like, I mean, you're not a fan of Jon Moxley. Didn't he like bust your head open?
Oh God, yeah.
Didn't he bust your head open? And Don Callis was like, yeah, he did. And Tony Schiavone is like, I mean, you only got to look at his forehead and you can see the mark there. Taz, obviously knowing that, and that's part of the joke, went, thank you, Tony. And Tony, without a pause, went, you're welcome, Taz.
Yeah.
And then there's this pause of silence, and you can hear Excalibur stifling giggles. He's just trying to do the next round of calls.
There were so many good spots in this match. I'll just talk about a few of them. Claudio just did these uppercuts in the corner, which were like Misawa chops.
Yeah.
That launching up, was it an uppercut? It was just a normal uppercut. And Ospreay does that kip up, bounce off the floor. I don't know how he does it into an enziguri. That was amazing.
Will kind of baited Claudio into that as well, because they were doing the striking exchange. And he sort of made him think, you've got the better of me here by like feigning this go down.
Yeah.
But even then, no matter how good his speed was, Claudio just shut him down with the power.
Well, we're watching X-Men 97 at the moment in the office. And what I keep getting amazed by, depending on the quality of the episode, I always know the action scenes are incredible.
Yeah.
And I really, it's one of my favorite things about the show, actually, probably, the way they animate stuff. It feels even more like I'm reading a comic book than watching the superhero movies, which are, of course, live action. I'm like, I can't think of a better way to do these X-Men 97 action sequences.
Mm-hmm.
Ospreay and Claudio, and generally Ospreay matches, I cannot think of a better way to do action movie style wrestling.
I think it's a great point. I really enjoyed that.
The finish.
I was just seeing something there predicting of like where we could be going. Blood and Guts is coming up. That'll be after Forbidden Door. So that could be Combat Club versus the Family in Blood and Guts.
I think that's a really smart shout, actually. Yeah. The finish of this was perfect. It was the best thing about the match. That's so cool when you can say that the match is awesome all the way through and somehow builds in quality so you end on the highest high. It's the Cesaro swing, Claudio swing, and he starts to swing him. Ospreay crunches up, gets him into that sort of like package DDT thing, hits the DDT, hops up, Phoenix splash, near fall. Ospreay isn't doing like, oh no, straight up. Gets the, well, I think he'd already brought the elbow pad down.
Yep.
Hits the hidden blade on Claudio. 1, 2, 3. Just like such a high octane finish there.
Yeah. I thought it was so, so good. To your point you made earlier, would you want to see Claudio in the Family? Or do you just, because I think I like him in the Combat Club.
Yeah, I like him in the Combat Club. I don't know, because of course the Family is this group of young boys and Don Callis is the abusive father. Where does Claudio fit into that dynamic? But if you lose Will, which feels like that's the direction we're heading, maybe you do need someone to come in and be the older brother, to be the new sort of alpha in that pack. I know you've literally got one called Takeshita. You've got Hobbs as well. But I think it would be more interesting to have a veteran presence in there. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I don't know. It's just the way Callis was talking. I thought there's more seeds.
Also, he had a really interesting point about it as well. I hadn't thought about it until you mentioned possibly putting in there. Because he said, got so many, kind of, every member of the group represents a different country.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's kind of was like, I'd love to add Switzerland to this. And when he said, I was like, oh, I kind of love that.
Yeah.
So it's like
League of Nations.
A League of Nations.
Afterwards, Fletcher, Hobbs, and Takeshita start beating up Claudio. Ospreay looks a bit upset by that.
Yeah, he was annoyed. He even was shouting, what are you doing?
What are you doing, bruvs?
What are you doing, bruvs?
Moxie came down for the save and the phallus. The phallus. The Don Phallus family.
The Don Phallus family.
The Phallus family, they walked off up the ramp. So yeah, really exciting stuff. And this is what AEW should be focusing on for sure.
I really, really enjoyed it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Let's see what you'll think in the Omega chats. Welcome back, John Moxley. Matt Hennessy says they needed this show after last week, but I do think it will take time for them to dig out of this hole. I hope it's the end of the drama, but you know Punk's going to be asked about it. He will insult AEW and Tony Khan will respond on TV and social media. Just on that, I'm hoping that they will just respond on social media and interviews. For me, that's whatever. You know, it can be good, it can be not. Do not address it on TV.
Lessons need to be learned, and I'd like to think that lessons were learned from last week.
Hennessy continues.
I'd like to think.
When the Jericho Hook feud started, I said jokingly, Hook needs to do whatever it takes to get away from Jericho and escape the mid-card vortex of evil. Seems like he agrees. As reports have come out, he wants to explore free agency. Later in the year, but why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I think that's...
If anything, that's the smartest thing to say in an interview, because you don't want to seem like you're desperate to stay where you are, because that's a way to get the most money. I've said this about every single person who's had their contract coming up. Explore all options, because that's how you're going to get the best deal.
Even if you want to stay in AEW.
Absolutely.
Definitely start talking to WWE, because it will make your price higher for AEW.
Absolutely, it should do. And if you're doing interviews, you should talk about the fact that I'll explore all options.
Hennessy again, great to have Mox back. I've really liked the handling of Okada since he joined AEW, and I was very down on him leaving New Japan. While Ospreay needs to be the face of AEW, similar to Cody in WWE, I think that's a really good comparison, actually.
Alvarez made that point. The second that Will debuted, Alvarez said, this is what AEW needs, is they need their Cody Rhodes, and it's Will Ospreay.
It's been nearly 2 months, and it needs to be said, Mercedes ain't clicking so far. Will you guys do draft predictions next week or a mock draft? Also, Luke Sean Ross Sapp on his Q&A last week says, the Black deal does expire this year with AEW. They have option years to extend the contract to 2027, similar to when Cody left his deal in 2022. AEW had option years to extend the deal to 2024, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, I should say, I do make a lot of jokes on shows. So if I say things, it's usually a joke.
Looks like Malakai Black is going to be at WrestleMania 41. Another victory for Ollie and the New Blood. Will we do predictions? We've got a 3-count episode for Backlash out this Sunday, right, I think?
Yeah.
And in that, we're doing a few draft picks as well. So that'll be the most we do. Kazoo says, AEW is always so much better when they stop being so insecure about the online discourse. Just run your show well and people will like it. It's simple. 8 out of 10 show and a great go-home show. Only thing I feel weird about is that Swerve Joe isn't very heated.
I think the last 2 weeks has taken the heat off of it.
I like the last 2 weeks.
No, but...
I thought this week... Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they've been doing great angles on TV. There's just been so much other stuff. It's not been what people are talking about. Going into Revolution, that is what people were talking about, was the three-way match. But for the last 2 weeks, it's not what people have been talking about. That's not a fault of the show. In a sense, it's a fault of the show in different ways.
Mm. Yeah, it's not Swerve and Joe's fault. In fact, it's... Well, honestly, Tony Khan's fault for making the focus of the show something else when you're building to a pay-per-view. I keep looking back at that Hook Samoa Joe match. That was like the highest figure they did all year. We were all really excited about it that week because they were laser focused on that build over the preceding weeks.
That's it. Tony, I think, has done great booking of the Swerve Joe feud, but has done bad booking and bad decisions elsewhere that has completely undermined the good stuff he was doing here. Had he been, like you were saying with the Hook thing, laser focused, I think this would have felt more heated going into it.
Eternal Blue, Memberg for 34 months. I'm deeply hopeful AEW can turn this negative press around. I don't want my current favorite company to blow it through pettiness. Still hoping.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be... I think they'll be fine.
I think having seen this week's episode... I'm like, oh, good. They know this is the right course.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be a banging Dynasty pay-per-view.
Of course,
next week, we'll all be in love again.
We said this on last week's show. In 2 weeks' time, the conversation won't be around the mistake of showing the footage.
Sheldon Jackson. Say my full name. Sheldon Jackson. Fun fact, the number of people currently signed to AEW who have held the IWG World Heavyweight Championship, current version, Ibushi. I forgot about him. Ospreay, Okada twice, Jay White, and now Mox. Meanwhile, Shingo, Sanada, and Naito are all signed to New Japan. for now. Outer Rim Observer, Memberg for 22 months. When in doubt, always call on Moxley. Guy is the heart of AEW.
Do you know when Copeland did the rah-rah speech last week, we did have a lot of people in the live chat being like, save this for Mox. If you're going to do a rah-rah speech about AEW, Mox should be the guy to do it. Do you remember when he cut the rah-rah speech after Brawl Out and stuff? Like, and he was, or the rah-rah speech he cut when he came back from rehab?
Yes, incredible promo. Like,
he is kind of the guy to do this.
Yeah, because when Cody left, Mox is, you're totally right, Mox is the heart, isn't he? And Jordan, finally for now, was at the show last night. Great dynamite. Didn't get my dream of a pick with Mox, but Ospreay now has the two best live matches I've seen. Was it Forbidden Door 1? And I'm going to Dynasty, so it's going to be top three. This episode is why I'm a wrestling fan.
Very nice.
Oh, just had one more as well. Shane, Moxley winning the IWGP title is great for both companies. I can't wait to see where this goes and means for crossover. Also, my first Ultra Chat, been a fan for a long time. Thank you. Thank you, Shane.
Thank you very
Obviously,
much.
Of the McMahon family. Shane McMahon texting in.
Very excited about New Japan. But I mean, it certainly sets up exciting things for Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
Him defending the world title at Forbidden Door. And yeah, I think it's something that I think New Japan needed. Talking about companies that need like some bouncing back. I think it's good for them as well. Tell you what, shall we hear from today's sponsor?
Oh yes, please.
So this episode of the Wrestle Podcast is sponsored by the Wrestling Masterclass.
Ever dreamt of breaking into the professional wrestling business as a wrestler, promoter, booker, commentator, referee, journalist, podcaster, YouTube star, or another key role? Wrestling Masterclass is a historic online course featuring over 70 HD video lessons, podcasts, and seminars with some of the world's top wrestling experts, both in the ring and behind the scenes, including Will Ospreay, Raven, Dutch Mantel, Doug Williams, Mike Chioda, and so many more. Start your journey today at WrestlingMasterclass.com.
See Will on that very trailer.
I saw Will there.
Will Ospreay's seminar. If you join the first class, you get that seminar as a bonus thing on your course. So yeah, WrestlingMasterclass.com. Go sign up now. This episode of Dynamite, of course, opened with the Jon Moxley promo, but after that we had Mercedes Moné putting the whole women's division on notice.
There are so many things. There are some phrases in wrestling I really want to retire. That's like 2000 WCW is definitely one of them. I am putting blank on notice. needs to be a phrase that is in the sea and is lost to time, because everyone says it and now it just means nothing.
As soon as Mercedes debuted, I've not like slammed or anything, but I have been like quite vocal in that it's just not doing it for me right now. Just feels like something's not right, something's off of her presentation in AEW. And it wasn't till a few weeks ago on Wrestling Observer Radio when Meltzer and Alvarez said, it's because she's doing 2019 WWE promos. I'm like,
that's what it is.
And now I cannot unsee it. That sit-down interview that was on last week's Really Bad Show.
Awful.
So stilted. Yep. And then here, it's very similar. It's like looking right into the camera, reading my pre-prepared script. Doesn't feel real in the slightest.
I need it to wrestle.
Mm.
I think it is earth-standing, unless, we've said on every episode, unless she is still injured and she's not medically cleared to wrestle, which is certainly a fine thing then to have her not be wrestling. If she is medically cleared, the fact she's not on Dynasty, I think, is insane.
If she is injured, I think there needs to be an address of that in storyline, just to explain it, because it's really working against her right now.
Yeah.
By the time Double or Nothing comes around, she's going to be ice cold.
Yeah, and do you know what? A who ran over Mercedes Moné angle is not going to help that.
Wasn't even a good beat down.
No, it was.
It was like a 5 seconds of dark.
Well, the fact that actually they did it in like a lights out thing also makes me think that maybe she isn't medically cleared and isn't taking bumps or anything like that.
But then she got physical in a couple of angles where she has beaten off other
she's
people.
She's hit a finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe
I don't know.
I have been flabbergasted
But even if I give them the benefit of the doubt and she is injured, there's still better ways to handle this.
There's it. We've mentioned this before as well. It reminds me a bit of Soraya, of like the, ooh, am I cleared? Am I not cleared? I'm just here to be a figurehead, but if I need to get physical, and it's like, well, are you or aren't you? Just tell me now.
This fed into Edge and, Adam Copeland and Willow Nightingale taking on Brody King and Julia Hart. But, oh no, Willow Nightingale has been taken out backstage too. By who?
Carlito.
The same person, maybe? You think it's Carlito? Or is it Dragon Lee? Who took out himself?
That'll be a joke that'll make more sense when the next three count comes out.
This allowed for Copeland to wrestle a handicap match against Brody King and Julia Hart, although because it was a mixed gender tag, Julia Hart could not tag in to face Copeland. Mm-hmm. So it was just a singles match.
It kind of, a lot of people are saying in her promo, she did say, I'm not currently fit and healthy. But I think that was actually more of a response to the beatdown from last week, as opposed to, I have not been medically cleared since I signed with AEW. I think those are two very different things. I don't want anyone to confuse those two by what we have been saying.
I still don't know what that attack was.
The lights went off.
She bumped her head?
She could have done. Yeah, you never know. Bumped her knees. Yeah, do you know what this reminded me of? Because Julia Hart couldn't tag in. Do you remember that series of the original version of NXT where the coaches stood on the apron to give advice?
I do now.
That is what this reminded me of. Julia Hart was the veteran for Brody King. To be like, I'm going to give you some advice as you're doing this match.
Green rookie Brody King. I actually quite got into this, and it's in no small part thanks to the crowd, who were fantastic all night.
Hot crowd.
I got into the Mariah May Deonna Purrazzo match at one point, which I was not into, and I, you know, didn't really particularly feel invested in it. But the yay boo spot, the crowd were going, "This is awesome." I was like, "Okay then, we're here."
That's Brody King though, man. Like, I think
Copeland, they popped huge for Copeland's entrance.
Yeah, star, mate. You know, got all that star aura about him. But I thought Copeland in ring here is just—he's so great. When he did that, like just running squash into the barricade when Copeland was on the chair, like he's just a beast. I loved him on Collision. I loved him here. It's what makes me excited to see him on the pay per view match.
Yeah, CM Punk's got great taste. So crowd was super hot for this. But then Willow, of course, finally made it down. She didn't really, like, sell the attack a lot. I could have done with a bit more there. But
she did keep saying she was fine.
But then she didn't come out early.
Well, yeah, because the doctors were holding her back.
But then Julia punches her in the head with the chain, and the referee doesn't see it. So Julia puts on her submission. Looks like she's passed out, but it's a cheating win. Referee calls for the win for House of Black.
I don't know, because the reports going into this was that Julia was still hurt. And then, like, I think Meltzer had said, like, I mean, I guess she's fine because she's advertised for a match on Dynamite. But then she didn't actually do anything in this match. Makes me think that maybe she is hurt. And I wonder if they'll just do an angle at the pay-per-view as opposed to a full match. Unless, of course, it gets cleared between now and Sunday.
An angle where Willow is beaten up backstage. Could be. Maybe, again.
Maybe Statlander reveals her true colours.
Yes, of course, Nightingale was attacked, and it was a mystery attack, much like Mercedes. Any ideas?
Well, I said last week, I think it's Statlander.
Statlander?
I think it is Statlander off the advice that Trent gave her.
Or Statlander working with Mercedes Moné.
So Mercedes reveals all along that it was a ruse.
I'm the CEO. But nobody asked me what of. Because I've got my own little
faction. I actually don't hate that.
Yeah. And then that explains why the attack on her was so lame.
Also explains why
she didn't attack us.
She's not been wrestling.
Yeah. Afterwards, Moné came down to chase off Hart with a chair. Tensley looked at Willow. They still don't like each other. Copeland shook her hand.
Yeah, she was very happy to shake the hand of Adam Copeland. She, in fact, initiated the handshake, I believe, but she wouldn't shake Willow's hand.
Renee Paquette backstage with a sit-down interview with Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe was awesome here. Renee asked him about, you look scared when Swerve had your title. And he was just like, Yeah, it's because I knew I had to disinfect the belt afterwards.
Yeah, I'm scared of what it would be for him to be the world champion. He had this line where he's like, Swerve seems to think it's a good thing that he keeps getting beaten up and getting back up again. That's not a champion, that's a punching bag.
A great line. And that Swerve keeps failing. Yeah. He's a choke artist.
He's going to choke artist, and I'm going to choke him out this weekend.
Then this was probably, outside of the Ospreay match, my favorite thing on the show. We start getting a video hype package for FTR versus the Bucks, and then it stops because Matthew and Nicholas Jackson interrupt it in the production position.
Yeah.
Because they didn't like it.
They were talking over me like, no, this isn't very good. This isn't good. No, I don't like this. There's not enough of us in this video. Tony, cut this. We'll go out there and we'll show them what it's all about.
Apart from the Punk footage, their gimmick and their performance of the gimmick since they debuted it back in February, I think, has been top-notch flawless.
So great. And even in that, they were my favorite thing last week about the Punk footage, because I thought the promo they cut beforehand was very funny.
So Okada's there with them because they're about to have a six-man tag. And just want to, last week I was saying how Tony Khan feels like he is part of this faction. And you're like, no. Tony Khan's separate. AEW is a babyface thing. The EVPs of Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, they're the heels. They're the heel force inside the babyface corporate structure of AEW.
It was a very well argued argument, I feel. And it led to a lot of people saying that I defended the Punk, the decision to include the Punk footage.
But here, with Tony Khan taking orders from the Bucks, sitting right next to them, they're like, cue up our music, please, Tony. Mm-hmm. And he does. I wrote in my review, he feels like Michael Nakazawa right now in the Elite.
I don't think this makes him feel like part of he's part of the faction.
But he's working with them.
Well, he has to. That's his job.
He could overrule them. He could challenge them.
Well, maybe he should stand up for himself a little bit more. People keep saying that Tony Khan should be more of a boss, less of a friend. Isn't that what Punk's saying? He's not a boss. He's a nice guy. And that's his problem. He's a nice guy!
You know what? I know we've just spoken about how we just want to move on from the Punk footage.
Yeah.
But if Matthew and Nicholas Jackson went to walk out, knocked a monitor. sorry, Tony. And Tony really, like, it's a Vietnam-style flashback. they came out to face Pac, Penta, and Daniel Garcia. This was a terrific match. Mm-hmm. I loved everything in it. The sort of Pac Okada teases were just on point. Penta's always awesome. Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, great. Matthew gets the microphone during the ad break. I don't know if this was played
during picture in picture.
Starts doing commentary in the match. Gets into the ring and he's like, to Daniel Garcia, show me something. Prove to me why we signed you. Garcia picks him up for a suplex. Matthew's still got the microphone. Oh, no, put me down, please.
put me down.
I thought Daniel Garcia looked terrific in this.
Great inclusion for Garcia as well, given his relationship he's currently got with FTR. Mm. I thought it was a really nice way to put him in there. Because this would have been, I would have thought a Phoenix position, given that it's two members of Death Triangle in the match. But I thought Garcia was a really smart inclusion in this to further the FTR thing. I thought that he looked great in this match.
Is Phoenix injured still?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's not been on TV. Yeah, since he lost the International Championship. The cursed belt it was for a little while. But yeah, I thought that he looked great. And being away from the Jericho Vortex and being within the C2 has done wonders for him.
Yeah, that Copeland-Christian sort of interaction as well. So my prediction off of this is, okay, feels like the Elite are doing something against Garcia. But of course, the Bucks will have tag teams to go against. Okada will have... Mm-hmm. For now, but people higher up the card than Garcia, I would imagine. Oh, but maybe a scapegoat joins, and scapegoat Jack Perry is the sort of member of the Elite that feuds with Daniel Garcia.
I actually love that, and that's really great. Did you see the reaction Jack got at Windy City?
I've only heard about it.
Christmas Day. It was unreal. I mean, look, there are a lot of negatives to be said about last week. It made a star out of Jack Perry in that one show, though.
Okada hit tombstones on both Garcia and Penta. Crucially, not Pac, I would say. Double super kick from the Bucks on Garcia. Okada Rainmaker to win. I love the way they stage this. Mm-hmm. Like when So Okada swings him round into that straight, half straight jacket position for the Rainmaker. But then he sort of bends down behind them while the Bucks hit the super kick. In my head, that's so if the guy ducks, he doesn't get kicked.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's smart. Why doesn't everybody do that? And then, yeah, he got the Rainmaker to win. Afterwards, the Bucks hit the EVP trigger on Garcia. They're going to beat him up with a ladder. Pack gets a bloody hammer.
Yeah.
And tries to chase them off.
Do we have that in the Death Triangle feud as well?
There are a few weapons in wrestling where I'm just like, I don't want that one. And a hammer, I don't.
Yeah, you know,
it's not
that
for me.
No, just for DIY.
Well, you just like...
The act of DIY, not tag team DIY.
I just don't know how you can really satisfyingly deliver.
Put your hand over and the top bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you drive it into.
So it's just a tiny sledgehammer.
Exactly.
I guess you could like get the sort of...
The hook bit.
The hook bit and do things like that. But still, I'm like, well, why aren't you just hitting everyone in the face with it?
Well, he was hitting people in the face with it. That's how they kept getting wins when they were the champions.
A guy called Austin Proc is in the crowd. I think he owns a car, but I used to own a car and I'm not in any TV.
I made that joke in the news yesterday. I was like, well, I'm a former TNA tag team champion. Do I get signed by AEW now?
Yeah, we should have I should have had it in the little name bar. I'm going to do it tomorrow. Once owned a car. Owner of car. Chris Jericho came out with Hook and Taz, who was the mediator for this segment. And this is where Jericho sort of appealed to Hook, say, look, I've got all this knowledge. You want to come under the learning tree? Look at all the guys I've helped, not listing all the guys he hasn't helped. And then Hook just says, nah, I don't want to be any part of this, actually. And Jericho says, no, you need this. Look, you've been not been raised well for 30 years. And Taz is like, well, let's stop this, Jericho. And Excalibur on commentary is like, Hook's not 30 years old.
Yeah.
And then, ended up with Jericho pushing Taz. And Hook got in Jericho's face. They never set up the match, but Hook was like, I will fight you anywhere, anytime. And then since then, the match has been confirmed for Dynasty. And Jericho just walked off in a way where I was like, well, he's going to turn around now and attack Hook from behind while Hook's tending to Taz. But it just never happened. It felt like the segment didn't quite have a peak climax.
I actually liked this one.
Okay.
I was surprised as well because I went into this with very low expectations, as I have with pretty much all of these Jericho Hook things, because I'm just not into this story at the moment.
It was far better than everything else they've done.
And the reason why is because this was a segment that was really leaning into the fact that like Jericho knows what people are saying about him to the point where he's literally stolen your joke and has trademarked it.
Well, he's welcome to it. But I can't think of anyone else who I was using Vortex. Baron Corbin's mid-card Vortex was the joke in like 2018, 2019. I didn't know it had become parlance.
Well, you know, if it's because you're an originator. You're a trendsetter.
Just like Jericho. Do you want to sit under my learning tree?
You're the Chris Jericho. I mean, you're on the Wrestling Masterclass. But this, I feel like this is Jericho leaning into what people say about him online to be a heel character. Yeah, him not listing off people. Him saying people are better off after they have been with me is an intentional, I know that they're not, but I am a heel who believes that that is the case. So it is like, it's a very knowing wink, wink, nod, nod. Jericho knows that he is the baddie in this storyline, but believes that he is the good guy that can offer the advice to young Hook here. So I thought it worked from that aspect of it. And I really enjoyed Hook. Because Jericho's there giving this big speech about the learning tree and the vortex and doopy-doo and all this sort of stuff. And Hook goes, nah. And he's like, but no, you don't understand. Like, I'm a veteran. I can teach you so much. It's like, I don't need you. Like, yeah. I don't need this. And then when he shoves down Taz and Hook just pushes him into the corner and he's like, I will fight you any place, any time. You have crossed a line. Now get out of my ring.
Yeah.
And Jericho walked away from this because he was scared. It was in that moment. It's like, oh yeah, maybe I actually can't teach this kid anything because he's already harder than I am. I thought Jericho sold it great. I thought Hook was really, really great. Taz took a bump. You know, so it's a 5-star show in that aspect. I would say, in all of the bad segments that these two have had, this one was a success.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got the match of the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Seeing our predictions video tomorrow, who we've chosen. But I think we went for different sides.
We have on this one, yeah. And that is because, you know, potential spoilers for tomorrow's episode. I've been joking with this with Tempest because I know it winds him up, but we're getting a new Jericho faction, and it's going to be called the Learning Tree or the Vortex, and it is going to be a group of young lads who want to appreciate Jericho and be part of his inner circle.
After that, we had Renee doing a sit-down interview with Swerve Strickland, just like we had with Samoa Joe earlier. He admits to stumbling and not winning the titles in the past, but he keeps getting back up. In fact, he's going to tell Samoa Joe in the ring tonight why he's going to win. But then we got Deonna Purrazzo taking on Mariah May. The idea being whoever wins this could be the number one contender for the title post-Dynasty. I didn't really get into this match, like I said, but the crowd really did. And I feel like when that happened, the wrestlers in the ring sort of fed off that energy, and it was really hot for a moment there.
Yeah.
Mariah sort of fell out of a powerbomb attempt and then hit the Tony Hip attack in the corner, traded some roll-ups, and then Deonna won, which I actually thought Mariah might get the win here.
Oh, no, I thought I had Deonna down to get the win with this one. But I like you, I thought the match was fine, elevated by a good crowd. A great crowd, actually.
Tony Storm's on the outside. I think that's the problem with Tony Storm's gimmick. Everyone's like, but what's Tony doing? Because she's got like such a over-the-top flamboyant character.
Why wasn't she on commentary?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So Thunder Rosa runs down because Tony immediately starts beating up Purrazzo, given their history. And Deonna doesn't want Thunder's help, just like Thunder didn't want Deonna's help the previous week. Thunder Rosa, you know, usually you'd expect that moment of dissension for the heel to start beating up Thunder Rosa. Well, then you don't know Thunder Rosa, because she just beat up Tony again anyway. and she wiped out Luther.
She proper wiped out Luther
she
as well.
She stiffed Luther when she ran down. So after that, we got the Bang Bang Gang backstage with Renee. They challenged the Acclaimed to a winner-takes-all six-man tag title fight at Dynasty. Then we have a break. We come back not 2 minutes later in the exact same interview position. The Acclaimed are there and they accept.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's because this feud just has not clicked and the actively damaged people in it. That really annoyed me.
It's the negative ones, man. Mm. Those negative ones just chip away. So when they do something that's... it's actually fine. But because of all of those compounding negative points, like, no, this is rubbish.
Yeah.
Like, and that's actually... that's annoying.
I was like, that surely the Acclaimed should be in a different part of the building. You want to keep these two people... one guy invaded the other guy's house.
Yeah. This feud ain't it for me.
No. But they will have a winner-takes-all match on the pre-show.
We have been kind of begging for this feud to come to an end, and it was always going to come to an end in this trios match for both sets of belts. So, good. Let's end this. And, okay, here is what I'm... here's my big hope for AEW in 2024. I know everyone's got, oh, I hope they get over the pettiness. No, stick with the pettiness. It drives people mad. Stick with the pettiness. Explore it even more online.
Embrace the hate, John.
Embrace the hate, John. But what I actually want this company to do is to focus on some trios action. Because both Collision and Dynamite have had two great trios matches. And I'm like, oh, this is what the trios division should feel like. But it hasn't for almost a year now since the Acclaimed have won the belts. So I'm gagging for them to just have some good trios action with the trios belt. So I hope the Bullet Club Gold win and we can move on from this stuff and they can just go on a great run with those six-man tags. Not going to happen, but I can always hope.
Orange Cassidy then took on Shane Taylor. I love Shane Taylor.
He's great.
And although like we had two fantastic matches on this show and a pretty decent opener, I thought, with Copeland, I love this match. Mm-hmm. Just like 7 minutes long or 10 minutes long. Orange is doing his thing. He hasn't got any of his friends out there, but Shane Taylor Promotions are out there. And Taylor's just like launching him around. Such a good big guy. And yeah, like he lost, but I thought he still looked good in defeat.
Shane Taylor's one of those guys who is just, he's proving his worth to the company. Came in through Ring of Honor, then was doing the Collision stuff. Now is doing some stuff on Dynamite as well. And is getting some TV time with Anthony Ogogo and Lee Moriarty. And it's like, this group is getting some TV time to try and get over. And I think that Shane Taylor is taking full advantage of that. And I think he's doing a really, really good job in this. I particularly enjoyed the moment when he put Cassidy in the corner, put his arms over the ropes, and then put them into his pockets so that he could chop him without protecting himself. Yeah. That it was a really, really good. I thought Taylor was great. I thought Orange Cassidy was superb in this match, as always. And yeah, I loved the story as well, like you were mentioning earlier. It's a story of Taylor's got mates, but Cassidy, and they were pushing this hard on commentary, the first time he's coming out to the ring with no friends.
My only thing on this, because I thought Moriarty, Ogogo, they've got like real charisma as well. The moment when Moriarty interferes, and he just leans on the barricade like, I didn't do anything. They need some wins.
Yeah, only having the one win.
One win this year.
Yeah.
I think, and that was last week tag match. Yeah, it was against Lionhook.
Yeah, it wasn't the last collision. It was on Dynamite, isn't it?
It was on
Dynamite. Yeah, yeah.
Of course, they got a bunch of wins on Ring of Honor, but come on, doesn't mean anything on the main roster.
It's like getting wins in NXT.
Yeah. So I really, really hope off the back of this good work Taylor's done, it's a good faction that they actually start becoming a force. Maybe they're in the trios picture.
I wouldn't mind that at all. I think that's a good position for Ogogo as well.
And during this, the Elite versus FTR and Pac was announced for Collision.
Yeah.
That is a huge match.
Massive.
So the Shane Taylor Promotions keep beating up Cassidy afterwards because he hasn't got any friends anymore. Generic baby faces, Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal rundown.
Didn't even spot who it was.
I was like, I knew it was Matt Sydal. I was like, Was that Daniels? And Trent appears from out of nowhere wearing the original Best Friends t-shirt.
Yeah.
And he clobbers them with a chair. I like Trent. I like heel Trent.
I really liked this because they set up a lot in the show. This was almost like the great misdirect of it. Beatdown after the match, someone runs down to make the save. Mm-hmm. So when the beatdown was happening, you're expecting someone to come down to make the save. But Trent, the dastardly bastard heel, took them out with chairs and then let the beatdown continue. I thought it was a really effective angle. I really liked it. And it's made me want to see Cassidy versus Trent.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. We got Ospreay Claudio next, which we've covered. And then the final bit. So the show had finished now. It was 2 hours in.
They had the five-minute overrun.
They had a five-minute overrun, which is where we got the swerve promo. He comes down to the ring. He calls out Joe. Joe comes down. There's loads of security. And this is the bit that everyone was talking about. Swerve hits a stomp off the top rope onto like three guys' shoulders. Mm-hmm. It wipes out eight security guards. And Swerve doesn't miss a beat and just sort of stands up. I don't know how it works. I don't know how it looks so cool.
Yeah, I've never seen someone do a Mario stomp on TV. And yeah, and he just sort of stood tall. It was awesome. Kind of in a way, you know when Ricochet did the big flip thing over to Velveteen Dream? And it was like, whoa, that's so cool. But actually, if you break it down, it's like, that's really weird. What a weird thing to do.
I don't want to ask questions.
Yeah.
I know it looked cool.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And
it.
If I concentrate on it too much, I'll find a lot of flaws. So Joe and Swerve, they then just have this brawl. It was a decent brawl, but I feel like they have had much better brawls in the last couple of weeks. And you kind of want those to reach a crescendo rather than just be more of the same.
I agree.
I think Joe could have done with beating the crap out of Nana. Or beating the crap out of Nana on another week to build to a big bloody Swerve thing here.
Yeah, I will give them credit because I do agree with you. I think that this was not the strongest of the segments that they have had in the build-up to this. Give credit to AEW, though. I think they use their five-minute overrun very effectively. The idea of a five-minute overrun is that people tune in at 10 o'clock to watch the next show, which is usually a movie or something like that. So they're tuning in at 10 o'clock, and they had the pay-per-view card running through that moment. So if you're tuning in at 10, you're seeing the pay-per-view card to make you want to buy the pay-per-view, and they're promoting all the big matches for it. And then they have the hot angle to try and sell you on the world title match. So I think they use their 5-minute overrun very, very well. I don't think it'll add to any extra pay-per-view buys because it's not 1996 anymore. But I think credit where credit's due.
Joe stood tall at the end with a muscle buster.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know how true this is, but the idea is, Swerve's winning the pay-per-view. But I don't think that actually plays out. I still think it's very unpredictable.
That is it's an old school way of thinking, but I don't know. We talked about this at length on the predictions podcast, which will be out tomorrow. But yeah, I'm unsure. I'm really undecided where this goes because I think you could either belt Swerve now, or you can have a Hangman return, or you could just have a Joe win.
I think it's great any way they do.
Yeah.
I gave it 75% overall this episode.
Yeah, so it's like a strong 3 out of 5, 3.5 out of 5. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Right, before we get into our remaining Omega chats, let's say a big thank you to our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon, like the heir to the throne, Kate Ayers.
Manipulating Manny Umaria.
The needs of the Manny Cornish outweigh the needs of the few.
Have a glass of sherry, Martel J. Simmons.
The real boss, Matt Robinson.
Max Kurt Wallander Wallen.
Michael Mark for Life Plowman.
The Batsman, Nathan Batty.
Leader of the Brass, NJ Hornsberg.
Hello there. Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Peter Fibra Brontus.
Probably better than Kyle. Philip O'Reilly. And that is your Hall of Fame class for the 18th of April, 2024. Head on over to patreon.com/wrestletalk for a whole heap of bonus extras. Early access to the Monday Night War, the booking podcast for the Monday Night War. Exclusive episodes of Survival Series featuring the likes of Alex Queen of the Ring, Sean Rossap of Fightful Select. Righteous Reg has been on an episode recently. So go check that out over there. It's a lot of fun. And next week will be mine and Ollie's review, a very timely review nonetheless, of the episode of Raw from 2014 where the Shield break up.
It's crazy. WWE has given us so much weird luck this year where we made that Bloodline video and we've been making that for weeks and it coincided with the Rock Bloodline family tree thing. And now they base the whole of WrestleMania 40s ending around Roman and Seth's history with the Shield breakup, and we're due to review that episode of the Raw that it happened on this month in WrestleTalk Extra.
Since January, we've been doing a month-by-month breakdown of the Shield's breakup at the start of 2014, and it just so weirdly coincides that this month episode is the episode of Raw where the Shield break up.
I watched it yesterday.
It's not good, is it? 2014 Raw is rough to sit through.
There are so many replays of stuff that happened earlier in the night.
Oh, yeah. It's exhausting watching the show.
Oh, my God. I watched Batista quit 5 times in total.
Yeah.
Right, remaining Omega chats, wrestletalk.com/support, get them in. The Black Prince says, I love you guys, but airing the video last week felt eerily similar to the Brett screwed Brett promo Vince cut after Montreal in a sort of him bad, us good way. It felt dirty regardless of intent. AEW was supposed to be the cleaner and less corporate. Ugh.
Can't always be a startup.
Yeah, but I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad look.
Space Viking, here are my cold takes. It's time for Garcia to join the BCC.
He was on their list.
Yeah. Roddy, Mike, and Matt would be much better as just a trio.
Mm-hmm.
Roddy, Mike, and Matt.
As in the Kingdom.
Matt
Taven and Mike Bennett.
Give him a solid 3-month reign as a wrestling machine, then unify the damn belt with a Carter's title, retire the Continental.
But then what are you going to defend in the C2?
Mm. Liv Morgan, effing awesome, says, what the F? Who benefited from Jericho when he said people got bigger? Who? Daddy Magic and that partner of his? They're like not doing anything. Daniel Garcia? I'm pretty sure he did well without Jericho's help. Just take a vacation, bro.
Like I said, I think that was the point of the promos. Mm. You as a fan and a viewer are supposed to recognize that.
I think, the problem is Jericho right now has probably gone past the point of no return of go away heat.
Absolutely. That's the problem. If he'd have been doing this maybe six months ago, it would have been a different story. But I think you're right. It's past the point of no return.
Yeah. Danny G, Memberg for 32 months. Swerve Joe has been booked well, but feels unimportant in the grander scheme. If the company doesn't care about the top title, why should we?
I think they do, though.
They do. Like, you know, main event segments, yeah, gotten a lot of time on TV, but the focus of the main talking points of the episodes have been other things.
Yeah.
And that is by design.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's like it doing great work with your left hand, but doing terrible work with your right hand, and that the right hand work overshadowing the great left hand work.
Title of your sex tape, thank funny you. Enough. Misha Sumra says, if Claudio is leaving BCC, why can't Ospreay join them? Have someone who's actually been to Blackpool in the club. Very good. Any news on the next watch party? Love the content as always. Jam that jam.
So, slight update on that. Due to logistical issues, we have lost our venue. Which has been part A of the problem, but part B of the problem, and is a much bigger problem, is that TNT Sports here in the UK aren't showing WWE pay-per-views on pay-per-view for commercial purposes. So even if we found a new venue, the pubs can't show the pay-per-views. So for the time being, until SummerSlam might be the only one that would be next, we can't do any of the watch parties due to logistical issues and pay-per-view issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is only something that's sort of unveiled itself in the last week. So
yeah.
Apologies.
We've been working very hard behind the scenes to try and make these happen, but everything is working against us to make it very unlikely that we'll get to do watch parties like we were again.
Golden Knights fan 84, hey Ollie and Luke, enjoyed Dynamite last night and can't wait for Dynasty, but I hated the fact that they showed TK and Gorilla. Every time he's on screen, he looks like a goof and I cringe. It's segments like this that make people look at AEW and laugh at it. I didn't think it was that bad.
No, it's just, Tony's a lovable goof. I think people enjoy the endearing nature of him. You know, when he's not being petty asshole like he was last week.
I think similar to Jericho in that, maybe I used to love him and the TNA goofy promos with Tony Schiavone.
Those were the best times.
That's goofy era Tony Khan, but sort of events over the last couple of years, I don't think he can have that on-screen persona anymore.
No, and I think he's run himself into too much bad faith with the Tony Khan has a big announcement.
Yes, yeah. So I think just like Jericho, take a break from on air.
But I would disagree with the ideas that this is what makes people look at AEW and laugh at it, because I think if anyone who is looking at Tony Khan on screen and deciding not to like it for that reason already decided they don't like AEW.
Yeah, definitely. Nate S. Memberg for 35 months in a row, the lunatic friend. For the Luke Owen John Moxley names there.
That one.
So excited for Dynasty. Ospreay Danielson match of the year alert. X-Men 97 has potential to be the best piece of Marvel shown on screen. I'm really enjoying it. Don't Kong Skull Island me here.
A friend of mine texted me yesterday and said this might be my favorite adaptation of any comic book property ever. And I'm never like, whoa, let's just pump the brakes on this one. Like, it's really good. But that's a big statement.
Yeah, the Jubilee video game episode
was the best episode.
And the third episode with Mr. Sinister, they weren't that great.
No, I think you're fine. That arcade one was the best thing in the show so far.
Nick Smith, I hope when Jericho announces his new faction, we just get a backstage clip of a dejected, I'm getting too old for this, Jake Hager putting his hat back on and reluctantly walking off to answer the call like a lame bat signal.
Yeah.
Is Jake Hager Chris Jericho's Brutus the Barber beefcake?
That is exactly who he is. He's the Ed Leslie to Chris Jericho.
To Chris Jericho's Hulk Hogan. Brett J. Rasmussen, congrats, Luke, on winning the IWGP title, and I look forward to you feuding with the Fallas family. I actually really like Justified Crazed Heel Jericho. Well, I don't think he's crazed, though. He feels like really low energy for me. Jericho believing that he's superior and better than everyone. I look forward to more of this.
Mm-hmm.
Moss Connection. Just seen Willow hit Brody made this show a big win for me. Hope you guys are having a good one. Jam that jam.
Yeah, I mean, we're all having big ones here. I actually, Willow hitting the cannonball on Brody King was generally very cool.
Anson Reinhardt, member for 15 months. Was at SmackDown Friday, showed a dad and son next to me your Bloodline video because the son kept asking who the new Uso is. Oh, thank you very much.
It's a good way to do it.
That's such a weird way to share a video these days. Usually you do it online. Give Swerve all the belts. Master Nate says, I was at work last night and missed Dynamite, and I get on YouTube to find out I missed out on Claudio versus Ospreay, FML, but I kind of saw the podcast thumbnail and thought Mox was a bald Hangman Page.
So, Luke looks like Mox. Mox looks like Hangman, ergo, look like Hangman Page. Thank you very much, everyone. This has been the ego boost that I really needed this week.
Claudio Ospreay was announced last week, though.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
So. Yeah, yeah.
And finally for now, Leroy from Down Under. Dustin said to Chris Van Vliet that a wrestler is foremost a storyteller. Do you think AEW needs to invest in a team of writers, or would this lose their core audience or perhaps build upon it and enrich their marketing power?
Isn't it weird how 10 years ago, the idea that wrestling companies had writers was the worst thing. It was like the worst thing that WWE ever did was bring in writers to be in there, because they like wrestling has never needed writers. And now, you know, 10 years later, we have people like, maybe the company needs writers. Maybe that's the answer.
I think they've got people. They just need to do that stuff better. It's not like they've been bad throughout, because they've had an excellent 5 years. They just need to recapture that stuff from before. I think it's more, you probably need to turn over some of the creativity in there, because bookers do get burnt out. It's usually around 2 to 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we are kind of seeing that.
We're at that point now, yeah. But like the idea of writers as well is that it's less that writers are, you know, writing their shows and stuff, or sort of booking shows. There's a creative lead. In WWE's case, it's Triple H, and AEW's it's Tony Khan. And Tony Khan just has creative minds that he speaks with. Danielson is part of the creative team. He speaks to the wrestlers about the creative that they would like to do. That's the way it used to be anyway. It was a much more collaborative thing. Writers were like writing promos for people. That's where people get the demonization of writers in wrestling.
There's an argument that they have brought on Jennifer Pepperman.
Yeah.
Presumably at Mercedes Moné's request, because she used to be her writer in SmackDown. They're the worst things on the show at the moment, her promos.
It's the most stilted stuff.
Yeah. We just had another one come in, Memberg, for Jason Xavier's gifted one. Thank you very much. That's very generous. And Kevin says Jay White in the pre-show twice in a row is a choice. I know he main evented recently. The C2 was supposed to bring those mid-carders to an upper echelon, just like the G1, but nothing happened to most of those guys. Also, spoiler for Rampage. Oh, that's okay. Congrats to Ruby Soho and Cool Hand Ange.
Congrats to you both.
They're having a baby.
They are having a baby, yeah.
And let's see what our final poll result is.
Yeah. Yeah, on the C2 thing, I feel like it has done, I think it's done great for Brody King. Like, I feel he's more over now because of the C2. Daniel Garcia feels more over for the C2.
Kingston doesn't.
Well, yeah, it's because that stupid belt, like, that came from the C2, yeah. was hanging around him.
But, you know, look at other people like Roosh and...
Well, Roosh is injured, I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't feel like Brody King feels like, you know, sure, he's great, but I think that's more just because he's great.
Well, that's
not because
it.
There's been a good follow-up.
But my point more was that he was wrestling on TV virtually every week in matches that mattered, and now because of that, people react to him coming out, which they weren't doing prior to the C2. So yeah. there's a net positive in there. Even if you're not moving up the card, there's a net positive in there. Jay White thing, it's nothing really to do with the C2, it's just this, I swore then, this acclaimed thing has sucked ass.
Fittingly.
Yeah. 73% thumbs up, 21% thumbs in the middle.
Or say they get 73
thumbs up.
Yeah, so nowhere near the depths of last week, but pretty decent rating there. And yes, please go over to Wrestle League. You've got to sign up now because it is the start of a new season. You do not want to be left behind in this multi-month run all the way through to SummerSlam. But for now, I've been Ollie Davis. It's been Luke Owen. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam. I'm John Moxley.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.